Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to claim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. That's Fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N. Today is November 18th. It's my daughter Sterling's 33rd birthday. So happy birthday, Sterling, and I know you're never going to hear this. But anyways, I had to say that. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Today is Call-In Fridays. I haven't been very successful at doing the call-ins. I think I fixed it. And we also, gotten Dana back on the air. Dana Durnford is joining us again, a friend to our show. He's coming on with us very regularly on Fridays. Thank you, Dana, for co-hosting and joining me today.
Good morning, folks. You're welcome, Lonnie.
Yeah, this is really awesome to have you back on. I am excited to hear some updates about the monsters of the nuclear industry because I have been paying attention a little bit to what's going around, and Fukushima seems to have really like taken a turn. I don't know if for the worse. Remember, they took those sides off. It's still open, still exposed. The feed on YouTube has gone down. They no longer tell us on YouTube. They don't give us the live feed. Do you know any more about that?
Yeah, that was Unit 1 cover they took off after 5 years. It spiked in North America, the counts up to 630 counts per minute. In one part of America, just after 4 days after that, they blamed it on the earthquake, but most likely it had to do with taking the cover off Unit 1 because it's been almost 5 years, right? And so this Unit 1, as Unit 3 and Unit 4, they blew up. They were very visible. Unit 1 blew up, the roof blew off it, but it looks like the reactor core melted down into the earth, and that's why they put the sarcophagus to emit the radiation up the stacks is what they were hoping to do so that the homeless would last longer on the site.
Oh, you mean what? That's why they didn't put a cover on it. They just built like a little
Kevlar.
A chimney to make it chimney out.
Right. Yeah, to make it go up the chimney so that it wouldn't wafer, wafers around where it wouldn't flood all over the site per se. Now, the other buildings, just because you can't say one without saying the other buildings, 3 and 4, where they detonated and everything is exposed, they're emitting a gamma shine and X-rays and neutron bursts. And these will basically gut you 2 weeks later from 300-400 feet away. So you walk past it, and 2 weeks later you die is basically what happens for that. Everybody who goes within 300-400 feet of the building will die within a few weeks. And so you won't see Harvard or Yale or Berkeley or Stanford there. It's not gotten any better. It's gotten worse. There's no way to contain it or control it. And all you throw at it is the homeless who don't know how to mitigate or fix anything and are scared and terrified and victims of the nuclear industry. It's horrible what they got done there, Lonnie.
I know. Oh, well, that's why we're here, isn't it? Because really, post-Fukushima, all of our lives have changed. And that's the interesting thing, that as these years progress, it really is astounding to me how people will just ignore. I was thinking about this before we got on the air, how really I wonder if what happened with the Egyptian society, the pharaohs, the people allowed their people to just get poisoned in some way for their own gain and benefit, which is why that culture just disappeared off the face of the earth. You know what I mean? Like, we're in the same. I heard Hawking yesterday. I saw this article. Hawking said, oh, well, he estimates humans have about 1,000 years left on the earth if we don't get with it. That's completely grotesquely underestimating the amount of time, overestimating. I think we have probably no more than 100, 200, 50 years, 300 max, if we do not reverse this ship or figure out a way to remediate the contamination. Just by sheer numbers of magnitude, looking at how nuclear works, and I'm not a scientist. I think I'm too freaked out over that one, Dana.
No, we're going to lose most of the population over the next 10 years because everybody's going to basically end up dying and getting sick at the same time. From the studies on the animals, from all the radiation, particularly North America, but nobody escaped it on the planet, not even South America, but North America got a brutal disposition, endless disposition from Fukushima. Everybody on the Pacific Rim Nation, everybody's eaten fish, ate a fish in the last 5 years from the Pacific Ocean. But everybody in North America was breathing hot particles all day, every day, sustained. And so once you breathe them in, they're stuck and sequestered in your muscles, your organs, and your bones. And I know Dana might sound like he's fear-monger, and Dana sounds pretty salacious at this stage. I'm just telling you what happened.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, the reason that you're here with me is because I know that it's not. And right. That's the thing. Like, I'm just not going to give count to those people that call. I mean, every nuclear scientist thinks we're crazy. That's what they say. Well, you're just completely uneducated and you don't know what you're talking about.
And they say it's like a banana and a potato chip and walking in sunshine, getting on airplanes and sleeping next to someone. And so who are these creatures? These are not people. People wouldn't do that. Creatures would, but people wouldn't. Anybody who does that is not a person.
Well, they're genociders. That's what that guy, I think, what is this? Kevin Kester, I think is his name. He's an anti-nuke activist from England. And that's what he says. Look, these scientists, if you're denying that nuclear causes harm, then you're a genocider because it causes catastrophic harm. And then we've got to stop pretending like it's not.
And the media couldn't look up in the last 70 years, or the universities couldn't look up and see it's not like a banana, you know? And come out and debunk these people? Why can these organizations come out and debunk political stuff per se, but can't come out and debunk scientific stuff when they just, on this level, they just allow scientists to say the exact same lie for 70 years? And it's the same media as with all these different lawyers over 70 years, and they can't single time find out that it's not like a banana. Surely to goodness, that's not going on. So these are well-oiled destructive machines. These are not medias. These are not universities.
Well oiled is exactly right. Because, look, we have, like you said, between Hillary Clinton and what's going on with Trump, really? I mean, which horrible person do we want to have run our government? They're all monsters. None of them. I mean, even the Democrats, I had to say, I laugh my ass off today listening to Democracy Now, their 10-minute update of world news, right? I started laughing when I heard that Trump is going to appoint General Petraeus, who I call General Betrayus, because he's the guy who, he's done a lot of murderous things, but he was also found guilty of giving his girlfriend secrets. He's going to appoint him, I think, Secretary of State. And then I'm like, oh my God. And then the next sentence out of her mouth was that the Democrats have appointed Chuck Schumer as their leader in the Senate instead of Bernie Sanders. Like, they're just going to capitulate and really, like, it is, you were right about it does not matter which one gets in because it's all meet the old boss, same as the new boss, same as the old boss. It's talk about capitulation, Dana. I mean, honestly, even in your own country, it's not like they're working for the greater good of the people of Canada. Beyond comprehension. You there, Dana? Hello.
Oops, here we go. I say all of them have the same agenda, apparently. Like, but I mean, we've seen what the Hillary crowd. This was a psyop, obviously. This was MK Ultra and Overdrive to Hillary. Yeah. Look at how people freaked out because Hillary didn't win. What are they? That was unbelievable, and how all of a sudden Donald Trump become vicious compared to Hillary. No,
well, let
I
me
mean,
put it to you this way: he was not for me. Donald Trump was always far more vicious. I mean, Hillary is the status. Just like I told you before, for me, I grew up a very abused person, so I'd rather have the evil we know than the evil we don't know. And we have not seen the evil that this man is about to unleash on this country. We already saw it the first night. My daughter was verbally assaulted and threatened by a Trump hatter who said he could rape her as soon as Donald Trump gets inaugurated. So,
yeah, but this is ludicrous. I mean, really? We're going to blame whatever somebody says on Donald or blame it on... Hillary came from that history of mass slaughter. And
yes.
So the people
I mean,
that propagated that...
I'm not defending her, but what I am saying is it's a different kind of genocide. Like, we're starting the whole racist, race-baiting, pushing us into having...
It's MK Ultra. This is MK Ultra. What's going on right now is MK...
MK Ultra...
MK Ultra was basically a lot of population susceptible suggestions. And what they found out was that in the Miliband experiments at Stanford, they took people off the street and gave them, say, $4 to help them with an experiment. And their job was to shock somebody who didn't answer a question that was on the list properly. And so every time they would get a question wrong, they get a higher voltage shock, right to the point where the shock should kill you. This was all fake, though, but they didn't know it. And what they found out was something like 9 out of 10 people or more would kill the person who was in the experiment because somebody else was willing to take the blame. And so once authority had asserted itself, people just followed the orders. And so they would have killed everybody till the end of time, because people subconsciously will do that if the blame is not directly put on their shoulders. If somebody else will take the blame, they'll go ahead and do what they're told. I think, you know, that's what we're seeing all around now in the military and everything else, and elections and politics and media and in the public relation firms, are these people will kill all of us. They'll kill everything on the planet rather than give an inch.
That's 100%. That's exactly what we're seeing. That is exactly what we're seeing.
And that's
what I realized this morning. Like, you know what? This is not news. They've been doing this a long time. This is like something that they have been doing really for a super long time. And
right. And now they have Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and everything to get at people on the internet.
Carl Grossman wrote this book called Poison Power. He wrote it in 1980, right? Or something like that. What year was it published? And it was 83, right? In it, he talks about how the hazardous waste and how Congress set up the Superfund site, and how already within 5 years after its creation, they loosened their regulations by 50%. That was 1980. So, you know, imagine what has gone into our environment since then, because if Fukushima had not happened, we would not even know about any of this stuff. That's the real hard force reality of it.
Yeah, well, we depend on our media to give us context, and the media does the opposite.
Media's owned by them, aren't they? I mean, isn't that the reason?
Let me see if we can do good examples. What's her name? Rachel, up on
Rachel MSN. Maddow.
Yeah. She gets $7 to $9 million a year, and her audience is maybe around $500,000 or $350,000, say. Now, that's a lot of money for that many people watching a show. That's a stupid amount of money. It's not the money because she's a good host. It's the money because she's willing to manipulate and deceive and lie every single show, and that's exactly what the show is about. She's willing to do it. So $7 to $9 million a year. If you had $7 to $9 million coming in every year, you're not going to give that up. You become greedy. You become like, I don't care. It's only for another few years, then I can do some good. But that never happened.
That is exactly. I think you're right on that one. I think you're right on that attitude. Like, I've called her office. I've called up that show. I've stopped even. I can't even watch that station. But I like to helicopter these television stations to see what they're telling Americans, to see how they're framing it, right? And I used to call in, and I would actually tape record and put them on my YouTube channel. I sort of stopped. But I would call them in to have a Rachel. I would call it a Tokyo Rose alert. When the blatant propaganda was just so obvious, I'm like, this is a Tokyo Rose alert for Rachel Maddow. Like, this is like, they need better writers. These people are so blatant. They don't care. Is it that they believe that Americans are just so dumb? Well, yeah, I think they do. They think we're just so uneducated it won't matter at all.
You're responsible for it. Right? Wow. They say something that's fable, shows up all over the internet that encourages them to go that. But these are ran by PR firms, public relations firms. They're not by media. They're public relations. They're about manipulating. That's it. That's all they do.
Yeah, it's true. And it's on both sides of the, quote, aisle. Like, there is no two sides of an aisle, as we've seen in this election. Oh. It's like, they're the same people. Like you said at the beginning of the show, who do you think Hillary Clinton would have appointed? Maybe not hardcore racists and KKKers like Jeff Sessions, but other people who don't mind murdering anybody. And I mean, it's really
racist
beyond comedy.
Hillary, look what they already done to Afghanistan and Iraq, to Yemen, to Libya.
Well, look
to
what
Syria.
They've done even to the people in New York. She did nothing for New York as a senator to the black people and the people of color. This is why this is the issue.
That's fact, yeah.
Huh?
No, that's right, yeah.
I mean, I get it. She's what I call a subversive. She's like a northern racist. You know what I mean? Like, up north, they don't really out blatantly, like up north in the history of America, that, you know, slaves, there were no slaves, but there was lots of indentured servants, and people of color in many of those northern states didn't really have any rights. They were free to come and go, but they didn't have any rights either. So,
well Hillary's the one. Hillary's the one who decided to let all the Japanese food come in the country without checking it right away. So she sentenced tens of millions to death right off the bat, period. And there's no one to say that Trump wasn't going to do the same thing. He probably would have done the same thing. Who knows?
Exactly.
I'm just saying she
well,
done it.
Do
she
thing.
Done
we're
it.
We're seeing him click his heels and say, Sieg Heil. This is what I was thinking about this morning, about how the CIA...
Trump pro-nuclear...
What do you think of this idea? I mean, it's kind of a radical idea, but I was thinking this morning that maybe this, like, the CIA really is like the biggest terrorist organization on the planet, bar none. It terrorized. I'm in this Latin American studies class, and we're learning. This is why, like, education is so important. In America, we don't even know where we're spending our money. I'm reading about all these different countries, how the CIA is funding this military coup, that military coup, changing, subverting democracies, and you know they're still doing it. It's still going on, and they're subverting our own democracy. That's what I was thinking. Like, maybe the ISIS, you know how they're saying ISIS is coming and we got to protect from Islamic State. I actually think that whole agenda is to set about, like, look at New York City. The Trump Tower now looks like a militarized. So
this is a lot of it's about a distraction from Fukushima. It's all about creating these wars, these war's got no benefit. There's no winners or losers in it. Outside of the media is full of this narrative and they're destroying a country, which is what they've always done. But all of this, like Syria was a week after Fukushima. Syria
was
went
it really?
Blown.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
time.
A week after.
For
they,
real?
They, yeah. That's when they went to Fukushima full core that week later. And that displaced everything Fukushima.
That's why we're in Syria, to cover up. That's
yeah.
why we're here,
that's right, yeah.
to
yeah.
cover up Fukushima. That
yeah,
is
and Hillary
the
was,
that's
was
why we
in office.
That's why it's this insane thing of let's the Syrians this and the Syrians that. It's just like bullshit turning just, oh my God, Dana, I did
it's
not
a distraction.
Know that.
Yeah. No, that's, it has been. I mean, that was a big year. Osama bin Laden died. Steve Jobs died. Kim Jong-il died. Prince William got married. There was the riots in London. There was the Arab Springs. There was,
you know,
that was a big year.
Worked on me. It worked on me because I did not even know about it till like the 5th of May, 2012, a year later in Tanto Mesas, you know, a few months. Hey, so let me give the number out in case we can successfully join in a call. Let's try it. 718-717-8296 if anybody wants to call in and speak with Dana Durnford or myself. The number is 718-717-8296. And everybody out there, if you're on my Skype, just to know, I got messages this morning that I think I got hacked, so don't open up anything that I don't send out things on Skype. So the number is 718-717-8296. Okay, well, we did that business, Dana. So, look, this is the thing. We are really in a time where they're going to use every excuse in the book for us to not look at the machine with them. The worse it gets, the more war we can expect. Correct? I mean, wouldn't that be the logical progression? They're going to start a war over Fukushima instead of just telling us the truth. I mean, I'm nonplussed. I mean, I just can't get over it. When I was looking at what's going on the planet, like, we have these water protectors out there so we can protect our water. How weird about the uranium waste on all these Native American lands where they're like, their cancer rate is off the chart. But we have to protect them.
Breaking apart on my side, Lenny.
Oh, we are, Dana?
I don't know if... See, that time you came out clean, but the rest of it was just, I couldn't understand. Every second word was missing.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
I don't know if that's coming out on the radio show or not, but...
Yeah, probably.
I brought it up just in case, you know?
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me know. So, is it
you go, that's clean again. Yeah, that was clean.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting little thing. Okay. So,
Lost track that time. Look, the wars that we see raging on in Syria and other places is about covering up Fukushima. There's no doubt about it. And that what they're trying to do right now will be about covering up the death of the Pacific. See, the death of the Pacific, that gets through people's heads in a hurry, right? You know, that breaks down the paradigm. It throws the shackles off. People who got all this stuff on their shoulders about war or Hillary or Trump and everything else, they wash all that off immediately when they come to realize what's going on with the Pacific Ocean. The death of the Pacific Ocean is not slowing down. It's accelerated, and we're not seeing the mass die-offs anymore because they're almost all gone. 80 killer whales left in Puget Sound. Every one of them emaciated.
40% of the salmon is down. They're admitting in Washington, 40% of the salmon catch is down. That's what they're admitting. Now, this is the thing. Yesterday, I called up. I saw this story the other day. Scientists searching for reason. Wild salmon are mysteriously dying. I was so outraged because this lady in this article says, Michelle Kohler, who works for Seattle Utility Companies, Seattle Public Utility. She's like, oh, well, the scientists are looking for reasons in their testing. So I called her office directly and asked her. And I said, is this something that you guys are testing for radiation? Because they're testing to see what these mysterious diseases are. So I called her back and I said, so are you guys testing for radiation? She's like, oh, well, I don't think we are. We're just looking for diseases. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense because we know radioactive contamination causes disease. Wouldn't you like to know the natural cause now? Like, you guys are trying to find the cause. We have a Fukushima volcano going on for 6 years. It takes 2 weeks for the trail to get here. So wouldn't you want to think about if it's, and she goes, well, I'll take her, I'll ask, those are very good questions, and I'll ask them, and I'll get back to her. And I said, okay, great. And I am going to get back to her on this about, I don't imagine she's going to come. Because we already know the answer. They're not going to test radiation. She said, specifically, they're not. I said, look. She goes, oh, well, have you had your food tested? I'm like, no. I said, I can't. I said, you know how expensive it is to test your food for radiation? It's quite expensive. You can't just, like, decide you're going to go take it to the lab and test. It's quite a lot of money. And I said, that's why I think we should ask the state to do it. She's like, well, I'll take your concerns and we'll find out if those are good, validate those concerns. Wow. So you know what that means? Threw off. They know exactly what it is. But I really think that when you see people's names her name is Michelle Kohler. She's with the Seattle Public Utilities. All I did was Google her name and find her phone number. And if people called her and said, let's test this for radiation, radioactive contamination, contamination. Don't call it radiation. Call it radioactive contamination. Be careful with that. They always like to say we have radiation. As you know, there's radiation everywhere. So we have to call it radioactive contamination.
Well, the people that are that they're going to send it to test it are known lawyers, and you go and listen to their videos of them lying, and that their institutions are a repeated lawyer and lying on the worst scales, on grandiose scales, making it up about isotopes, calling it homeosis, which is good for you and stuff. And but we have terrorist laws because it's not good for you. We have nuclear holding sites because we know how dangerous it is. These are the same people working at those sites or out in public.
You are right. Listen to this. The people doing the testing is West Fork Environmental. You know what the very last sentence is in this article? It's hilarious. I mean, you begin to laugh. It's really pathetic. The disease that is killing the salmon is likely caused by a parasite, but could be more common with the warming water temperatures. There is no human health risk associated with the disease, according to West Fork Environmental. So go ahead, keep eating that salmon, folks. Keep eating it, because there's no harm to you.
Yeah, if there's an atom in it and there's six people eats the salmon, somebody ate that atom, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, they're going to have a cancer. Before that, there's 1,800 diseases can show up. And so at some point in the near future, that's going to become common knowledge. At some, in the very near future, the Pacific will be dead by the end. Well, yeah. By summer next year, there shouldn't be any whales left by the looks of it. All the whales are emaciated. Every whale that died last year, normally there's 8 found on the coastline. You found 48 last year here
in
BC.
What was the whale population? Do you know what the world whale population is? Do you know what the amount of whales?
No.
Let me Google it.
No, we know that every whale that died, that washed up, starved to death. We've never seen that in the history of deaths of whales. We've never seen a whale wash up that was emaciated. And we've never seen killer whales emaciated. And that the killer whales can eat each other. They can eat sharks and halibut and octopus. And they can eat dogfish, which are small sharks, rather. They can eat seals and sea lions. And they can eat other whales. And they can eat the smorgasbord that was in the Pacific. And so they don't hibernate like a bear. Then why are they emaciated? How was that possible that all 80 that's left are emaciated and they think they're not going to make it through the winter, let alone till the next salmon run? Now, salmon is not their main food at all, right? They eat everything. Salmon happens to come through, and that's one of their yearly foods, but they don't survive all year. They eat everything. And there's halibut was normally everywhere. Just wow. Unbelievable. And how
you
want to
hear something that's
pounds?
Really frightening? I just Googled, I went to the International Whaling Commission, right? And they say that they have the most comprehensive estimated whale population. This is kind of the scary part. The last year that they have on here is 2000 and, well, they have one northeastern 2013. And they're saying their best estimate is 90,000. Between 2008, they lump out 2008 to 13 together. And they only mention 2013 that one year, which is really frightening because we're 2016. That's too long ago. I mean, we have too many environmental catastrophes, including Fukushima, that are threatening.
Well, I done the last species count in British Columbia, Canada. That's it. And nobody will ever do another species count. Insects, birds, and marine life in the tidal zones. That'll never be done again. There's nothing to do. And if you go
to
do it,
website.
It's going to give up the game, right?
SeaWorld. I clicked on something just now, and it's evidently it's SeaWorld.org. And this is what it says. This is what it says. Northern right whale, 500 to 1,000. 500 to 1,000 left.
Yeah, we've seen a dozen of them wash up last year.
Wow.
And starved to death, right? They are like 60, 70, 80, 90
Indo-Pacific yeah. humpback dolphin, unknown, thought to be depleted. Atlantic humpback dolphin, unknown, but depleted. Oh, my God.
But all killer whales, every one of them are emaciated, dying. Every one of the killer whales, they'll be
every one of these are on the endangered species
list. They probably won't make it through this winter because they're so emaciated. There's no food this year at all.
Wow.
And so they're probably going to be gone before the winter's finished by next spring. Or by the end of summer, they'll be gone. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I forecasted a few years back that they'll be gone by this year. And sadly, pathetically, I'm right. They're gone, and it's just a tiny fraction of them left.
Yeah, that's definitely not something you want to be right on, is it, Dana? Like,
it was something I was terrified of.
This is why
of.
It's kind of amazing. Like, my radio show, people often say, well, doesn't it make you sad to have to, like, talk about this all the time? Yeah. Honestly, it makes me sad not to face it. We have got to face this if we want to figure out a way to thousands.
Even if we can't do nothing, we got to go to battle. Even if we can't change anything, we got to go to war against this. There is no other way around this. And war is a mentality. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying we got to pick up arms and go
right.
do whatever, right? Just random whatever. I'm just saying we have to have a mentality of fighting for every inch of our future. And if
it's
we don't, we're going
to
lose.
I heard that sentence yesterday. It's called grit. Like, we just have the stick-with-itness. We're not going to just let them push us away and say, go back and be our little slaves. We're not going to do it. And if you want to call that war, then that's what it is. But I don't believe, like, that whole mentality, the whole idea that we are their assets on the balance
sheet. Well, we should be going to war. We should be picking up arms. We're not going to. I'm not calling for it. But in a normal society, that's what we probably would have done, is what I'm saying. In a normal society where everybody is paying attention, we would have went, like, 100 years ago, they would have been, I'm not even going to get into it, but. It would have been over by now. Let's put it that way. We would have known, you know. We put off our judgment for too long. Is our problem?
Well, that's because
we didn't speak out with enough authority. Is our problem, right? We didn't assert ourselves. I did, but way too late in the game.
Yeah, but you know what, Dana? It's like this little cartoon I saw. This guy standing up there, a politician. He's like, who wants change? Everybody puts their hands up, right? And then the guy says, who wants to change? And nobody puts their hand up, right? We all want change, but nobody wants to change what we do. And this
Look,
is,
you know, when a forest fire comes through your community, you change whether you want to or not. Because you can see it, and you can smell it, and hear it, and feel it, and taste it. But now, this stuff you can't. Go ahead.
What do you think of those forest fires that are happening in North America in the middle of winter? Like winter's about, it's December.
Right, yeah, because the radiation killed the bacteria and the microscopic world right away. And so the trees didn't break down, so the forest fires are much more. Now, you didn't have the glaciers distributing water through all the estuaries and rivers and lakes weren't getting filled up with all that water from the glaciers. And so the runoff, everything was dried out. And so this is why we've seen all these crazy forest fires in the weirdest times, is because we didn't have the normal checks and balances that keeps everything moist. Like, the mountains would create their own rain, you know what I'm saying, right? The moisture from the mountains would create their own environment coming back down to the coastline. Everything runs back down to the coastline, and that's why all those vegetations and fauna and flora is so lives where it lives, is because it's dependent upon that ecosystem, the isotopes have stopped the glaciers from expanding and have destroyed them within less than 6 years. We've lost them all here in British Columbia. They're gone. We've never seen nothing like that, but we're seeing that in other countries too now. See, after the after the Gulf War in Kuwait, where they used 700 tons of depleted uranium, they found that uranium in the ice cores of the glaciers worldwide within a year. Because think about how many isotopes or how many atoms are coming out of these weapons. Yeah, so we found this throughout the environment. But Fukushima was consuming rocks and rebar and steel and cement endlessly for at least 8 months straight, atomizing it, aerosoling it, all of that came into contact with fissionable product. That become fissionable product. And what that means, if anybody's not familiar, is that it's putting out energy. So wherever it landed, it puts out energy. And that's why the glaciers couldn't crystallize. It's really something. So then all the rivers, all the insects and trout and species and frogs and everything else in those rivers and the birds that live along it, dependent upon it, they starved to death. It was the wrong temperature. The eggs didn't hatch. The larvae didn't show up. The ecosystem disappeared within a year. So 5 years later, there's nothing there, only a trickle at best, if you're lucky to find that. I got in the whole coastline and got shot. I got bats in the little estuaries all along the coastline of Canada. And I never got bothered by insects. I didn't see spider webs. I didn't see birds in the trees. I didn't hear him in there. It was like the most boring thing imaginable. It was the boringest trip imaginable. Making up words there now. The most boring trip on the planet.
Well, look, I know, and this is the thing. I noticed that when I went out to the coast myself, there's a lot less birds. It used to be packed with birds. And these are the subtle changes that really people don't recognize. And when we talk about them, they act like we're just being alarmists. I mean, the whole conversation about us having to like pretend like everything's normal. This is, in fact, the insanity. This is what I mean. Like, I really am beginning to think that it's already a done deal. The CIA is firmly in place. They are running the secret government, the shadow governments, whoever those people are and wherever they're at. It's a done deal. There is the only thing that we do have, the resistance that we really do have, is the activism that we're doing to speak out, to expose the harm they're doing, because they're gonna do the destruction that they're gonna do. They're gonna kill who they're gonna kill. Although, look at the Dakota Pipeline. We'll put those activists in there. They're subverting the action there. But I personally believe that that's still going to happen. Donald Trump's a major investor. He's the president of the United States. You think they're not going to go ahead and figure out a new thing? I don't know. We don't know.
Look, you can't run the country without oil. You can't move your vehicles without oil. You can't have industry without oil.
We don't need oil. That oil, Dana. We don't need
it. But right now, without it, the country fall apart. In less than a week. Imagine if all the gas pumps shut down.
We do not need that company.
If all the gas pumps shut down?
No. That company, those long oil pipelines, there is no need for that. We could get up to speed with alternative things that are less toxic, less dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. But if we don't do something,
yes,
right now, the whole infrastructure is still on oil. We can take the technology and bump it out there, but we still got a long way to go. We haven't mass-produce the technology that we're talking about, the alternative. We need to do that. Everybody agrees with that. That never happened. So the alternative is nuclear or oil or coal or gas. So you can't have – there's nothing else in the mix, unfortunately, that they're willing to use. So we're stuck with what they're willing to use. We're not stuck with what we know is out there and what's available and what we can create. We're stuck with what they're willing to use. And so they're willing to use – they say they won't replace a nuclear plant because there's no green technology to replace it. Don't care. Put a coal plant there. Put an oil plant there. Put a gas plant there. Anything but nuclear.
I agree with you. Anything but nuclear. But the fact is, we don't need the pipeline going through North Dakota.
We don't got the green. We don't got the solar panels. No one's trying to build these factories. We're a long way off.
We got to grow up and do whatever we got.
We don't have it.
We don't have them. But life is still going to go on.
Life is not. Yeah, and if we don't make a choice that oil and coal and gas is acceptable versus nuclear, then we're stuck with nuclear. It's as simple as that. No, I agree. And I'm sick of everybody saying, "Well, Dana, oil and coal and gas is bad, Dana." I get that. I'm not naive and I'm not gullible. But what I am saying is the option is that. That's all we got, and we better make the choice with what we got instead of what we want. Everybody wants something. Everybody wants a big house. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to have their own private jet. Okay, I get that. We don't got it. You don't got it. They don't got it. We got what we got, and we got to deal with it. And if we go against oil, we go against coal, then nuclear shows up everywhere. Nuclear becomes predominant. Nuclear becomes the better option for everybody because you can't have a conversation. And so everybody's saying, no, we can't use coal and oil. Dana's too much pollution. What are you talking about? That's the natural elements of the planet. What do you think happens when a volcano goes off? What do you think happens when an oil field busts under the ocean? That happens for millenniums. This stuff is normal to the planet. Now, nuclear is not. So we don't like it, but it's better than nuclear. Anything. Burning everybody in the graveyards is better than nuclear for fuel. It's not cool. It's not trendy. It's not even moral.
I really reject that idea that we have to allow, pipelines to be built, massive amounts of miles that could threaten.
Threaten what? We ain't got any species left.
I don't know what people
are talking about. People better start using their friggin' heads out there. There's nothing left out there to protect. Not even us. We're in trouble. We better do something besides nuclear. We got to go back to oil and coal. Who cares? Who friggin' cares? What the frig is people talking about? What planet are people on? Oh, Jesus, no, Dana, it's pollution. Yeah, you pollute every time you shit in the friggin' toilet. You pollute every time you spit on the side of the road with your GMOs and you drink aspartame in your drinks. You pollute everything you're doing, your pollution. So, like, if you're not going to do one, how are you not going to do the other? Blah, 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 blah. Like, people are friggin' insane to put up a fight over something that we're going to end up with nuclear if we don't do it. We can't even run the country unless we do it. We don't have the technology, the infrastructure. We're not even trying. And then everybody, well, we're not trying, so we might as well not do nothing. No, they will create more nuclear power plants. They will create more waste.
And you know what? Someone is trying to call in, and I don't think I can actually answer the call. Here, I'm going to answer the call. If it puts you on hold, I'll come right back, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Hey, Dana, that was 20 seconds, but you did not hear me. Hello? Hi, this is Lonnie Clark with your Age of Vision radio show. Dana?
Yeah.
I bet you 2-1 I put you guys on hold. So I have not figured out how to join.
That was my side.
Yeah, so I can take a call, but one at a time. So that means that when I'm on the radio show Tuesdays and Thursdays, people can call in. Because I don't know if you know this, Dana, but I've started picking up the radio show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I'm on 5 days a week here.
Yeah, it's tough, eh?
Well, a way it's kind of easier for me because actually I know what day it is, Monday through Friday. I'm not getting all confused. So I don't know. So far, so good, although we just passed the first week, so we'll see how it goes. But I thought I fixed it. I had the computer guy come over and try to fix my computer so I can merge calls on my... I don't take calls on my laptop because the laptop has a weaker internet signal for the Skype. So that's why I do the radio show for my PC, but I have not been able to...
I wanted to raise $7,000 and get a Skype machine so that I can do the exact same thing. So, I mean, that's a... $7,000 Canadian by the time you got it. And got the training to use it and the patch cords and everything else and the extra monitoring, blah, blah, blah. It's its own standalone, but it hooks up to the equipment that I already got. But what it does is it corrects the picture. I'm not going to dwell on it. It corrects the picture and corrects the audio. Adobe's the audio and then remasters the video.
So do you have a fun page going on for that somewhere where people can contribute to you on that one?
No, I was getting... I was in court so much, I ended up having to use the little bit of money we raised to 15 hotels, 15 ferries. Yeah.
And you're going back to court, aren't you?
I got to go back to court in a couple of, well, next week I'm back in court. I got to go in and plead. I'm going to plead guilty on this one and keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, this has been a setup to take me down, try to destroy me and bankrupt me.
Yes,
and these people won't leave me alone. They're just at me
all
the time.
Well, that's their whole thing.
I'm bankrupted anyway a long time ago.
I would say it's the same thing of like this conversation we were just about to have before this person called us was, the conflict of people. This is kind of like you're saying in a way, in a more blunt way, what I've been saying is like I'm sort of dumbfounded that people are talking about the water protectors. We need to protect our water from the pipeline. But there is no conversation about Fukushima. No conversation about the nuclear radiation that's been pouring into our
No, world. That's the nuclear industry demonizing oil. That's all you're seeing. You're seeing the nuclear industry going to war against oil and gas and coal. Everything we see, these are all blown out of proportion. Everyone else.
We're not going to do it because
they're
really
blown out of proportion.
Well, I don't know if it's blown out of proportion because A, those weren't legal easements, what's going on in North Dakota, and B, the United States wanted to put these pipelines right through the burial grounds of Native American lands on private land. So the whole thing is an illegal invasion.
Well, and they didn't think that was going to cause a massive blowback. No, this was on purpose. That's how it was done. We've seen this throughout history. This is the game they play on everybody, and everybody buys into it. No one can use their logic.
Explain what you're saying, Dana.
I so heard about it. They demonize oil and gas. They demonize oil, coal, and gas, blow it out of proportion, throw it in the media, make everybody sick of it, and then the solution is more nuclear.
Well, and then this is the other part. There's no conversation about actually, like you said just a minute ago, we don't have the options. They're not going to go to the options of clean, safe, renewable energy. They're just not going to do it.
Oh, they'll just bring up the pipeline disasters every time.
And actually, this morning I was reading this article that said the United States Senate has been told if they want to keep nuclear alive, they have to act now. So our Senate is about, our subcommittee on energy in the United States is
uranium stocks at bottom. If it goes up, if you get any help at all, stocks go up, everybody makes money. Right?
So as long as we don't give... say?
Every stock in uranium has went down for almost 6 years straight. Everybody invested and lost their shirt for 6 years straight. All the big media out there has been pushing uranium stocks for 6 years straight, looting everybody. The whole friggin' system is full of demented, twisted, soulless, spineless, heartless, moralless PR firm people. People that work for this industry to make a friggin' dollar. And they will wreck the planet so they can have a fucking paycheck. It's heartbreaking. They'll kill everything so they can get their paycheck every week. They'll wreck me. They'll wreck this entire planet. They'll lie to their friends and their families, everybody around them and themselves. They'll kill everything before they give it up because they couldn't get a real job anywhere else. Or they could, but they won't. I don't know what the frig is wrong with them. For all these decades, they've been doing this to it. The media can't even tell the difference between a banana and a dirty bomb, or a potato chip and a dirty bomb, or getting on an airplane and having ambient radiation from solar.
Don't you think that's their mission accomplished, Dana? Don't you think that's their mission accomplished? I mean, really, because the media is owned by the nuclear industry, and it's like cha-ching. We just get to, like, literally convince more than half. Did you hear, in fact, I wish I had, I wish I had a little bit more time and forethought to think about this article. I wanted to talk about it with you earlier. I listened to Arne Gundersen do an interview with some interns that he had conduct that in his, I guess, Fairwinds hired some interns to conduct a study in their graduate years, and they did the whole paper, and it was these students talking about how they compared nuclear energy to, quote, alternative energy sources, and lo and behold, they determined that even without the factor of the accidents and the cost of remediating on safety for the nuclear industry, which is a cost, and they admitted it was a cost, but to be, quote, conservative or to be, quote, fair, they didn't add that in because they would have had to add it into the other energy systems, that nuclear is at least two-thirds more cost than all the other energy sources combined. And the thing that was really telling to me was listening to these young scientists who were studying nuclear industry. And one guy said, he came into this believing that nuclear was safe, and by the time he finished it, he thought it was, he had changed his mind and decided that it really was not a viable energy source. The thing that was telling to me was all they were talking about was the cost. The cost, cost. It's never a concern about the health of our planet. Even, you know, this is, it was just an astounding bit of fact that these young students, the guy who decided he didn't like nuclear, and the other two said they were still on the fence, but it looked like they were about to turn on nuclear after their war. But the guy who, his idea was not about threat to human health, it was about the cost. And this is the training of these scientists. That interview, forget the information they gave us in that 20-minute interview. I listened to it from a psychological point of view. This is our future. I was dumbfounded.
You're breaking apart again, Lonnie.
Well,
that's okay, I suppose.
I hope I didn't. Well, maybe it's because I'm on this page of the nuclear news. I have no
idea. I don't know if it's about keeping your mouth right close to that mic. Seems to be better for you. If you stay right in that one pocket.
How about that? Is that better?
Yeah. See, that's the pocket. That's what I got to do all the time. I have to stay in that one spot.
It's a pocket.
Yeah, there's a pocket for your microphone. You'll hear it in your headphones anyway.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Look, how is it Arne Gundersen can hire interns? How is it Arne Gunnarsson can get all that traction? How is it Arne Gunnarsson doesn't know Unit 4 doesn't exist?
I don't think he hires them. They do it for free. That's part of their...
Yeah, but I'm just saying, how is it he got all that money for those facilities to do all of this? How is it he's... Because I know he's got a big facility put together. I know he's raking in millions a year. And I know he's not producing jack shit. He comes out and talks about nuclear, but he hasn't made any difference. He hasn't changed anything. He hasn't asserted himself. He hasn't called anybody, come out and personally name somebody as a lawyer. He hasn't come out and rallied the community behind him. Everybody throws money at him. Everybody protects him. But I got videos of him telling me that Unit 4, they got the fuel out of the building. And not coming out and saying they were fake pictures that everybody in the media was showing. So, why would I want to trust anybody? I can't take his word. I can't take Callicott's word. I can't take Busby's word. How can I when I got them not coming out and throwing punches? How can I trust anybody that won't do it? And why should anybody else trust these people? And why should I put up with that when I know for a fact that they don't come out and be honest? This is the problem. Everybody's wants someone to fight for them, but they don't want anybody to come out and actually fight for them.
Well, I don't think they're making millions of dollars. I just looked up.
Are.
No, they're not. I looked up their revenue. Fairwinds Energy Corp. Education Corp. It's an 990. You can look up their 990 return.
Yeah, go ahead.
Their total revenue. Now, the last one, I don't want to download their 14, but their total revenue for 13 was $163,000. And for 2012, it was 198. So they probably take in about $200,000 to $250,000 a year. And that's how they, probably.
He doesn't have to declare donations unless they're write-offs, right? Unless they're write-offs. There's a lot of donations that are not write-offs.
No, they have to declare. They have to declare all their money. They do have to declare all their money, but what is not declared on the public sector is any income that he gets from doing private consulting. So that's his private consulting.
Right.
Like when he gets paid to go sit in the courtroom and gets paid $7,000 to $10,000 just for sitting on a chair for 2 hours. You know, that's the kind of money that is not reported. But I mean, look, I'm no fan of how they. This is why I bring it up. Because as you
said, these are the handful of people that get all the traction.
When we're talking about critical thinking, we are all being socially engineered to just ignore the harm, and all we're thinking about is the money. That's the thing that blows me away, is they only think about the money, and then the harm that causes the environment is an afterthought. It's like, okay, we need to have this energy. No, we don't. We can go without electricity.
If you go to pro-nuclear, you'll find GMO. You go to pro-nuclear sites, you'll find them pushing GMO. And it's every single time. Yeah, it's every single time.
Of course.
And they're not beating around the bush. They're saying GMO is good.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, anybody who hasn't listened to First Cup
have
an
agenda.
But Jules, they do plan on biotech-ing all of us. That's their plan for the future. I mean, honestly, I listen to Jules' show, the show that comes on right before mine. When I'm at work, I listen to the podcast, and I am not kidding you. Sometimes I'm working, and I'm like, oh, my God, they really have these plans to biotech us, to geoengineer human beings, to, little mosquitoes.
Well, I got headlines. I got headlines where they're saying it's a moral obligation for scientists to manipulate the DNA of children, right, to turn them into passive servants. Not all children, not your children, but everybody else's children.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Although I have a huge...
They do it with GMO. It's a slow... They do it in the public schools. And have been, for as long as we can remember, been doing this to our loved ones and our children and our friends and our families. These people are out of control. The only way they can have any power is to be evil. And so they're evil. And willingly. You take Kathleen Higley... Right, Dr. Kathleen Higley, she treats children for cancer all over the place. She studied Nagasaki, she studied Chernobyl. But yet, in public lectures, she says radiation like a banana, like a potato chip, like getting on an airplane, like walking in sunshine.
She wrote that paper.
And she treats children for cancer, the very same person. And she's the public speaker. She's the one that UN UNSCLEAR, IRPA, goes to looking for what they should do with an accident. She's the one that gives the advice. The same one that goes out in the media and says it's like a banana. And well, same one that's treating children. Just like this is out of control.
That's the point in case. She goes out publicly pro. She is definitely worth millions of dollars. Now, Arne Gunnarsson is being spanked. He's only worth about, you know, his company only grosses a few hundred thousand. So, like,
why is he lying then? He's only doing that. Right? Why is he out lying about UNIFOR if he's only getting nothing? He's not like, just because he's getting nothing doesn't make
him a good guy. I think he is in that state of being. I can't say that I believe that he's intentionally lying. I think I don't think he's intentional. I think just refuses to look at the facts.
You don't know the difference? What do you mean look at the facts? You think you never seen all the headlines with the beautiful fuel pool and said that's fake? You think you never really seen that, Lonnie? Come on.
I think he really believes that's real. I think he believes that's real.
He's an engineer. He used to make the fuel pool assemblies. He knows where they fit in a building because he goes in all those buildings, 70 different nuclear power plants.
So he's just keeping his trap shut because he knows he has to.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. That's what he's doing. Yeah. No, I mean, like, he's not gullible. He's not naive. He's not uneducated. He's not blind. He reads the news. He knows, same as I do.
I think what you're missing is the dumbass factor. This is a guy who basically worked for the nuclear industry and was completely brainwashed until Fukushima happened.
I hope you're right. Yeah, I hope you're right. I don't believe that, of course, but I hope you're right. I like to believe you're right. That'd be cool. if it was that simple.
Either way, the result.
I can give up what I'm doing if it was that simple, because it'd be hopeless.
Well, either way, I mean, that's the thing. Like, on either side of that fence, it's still a catastrophe. It's still, the facts are facts. He's still either a complete dumbass or...
All he had to do was come out and say, that's a fake fuel pool, and we wouldn't have this conversation for the last 5 years. Same with the rest of them. All he had to do was come out and say, that was fake, just one of them, and they would have created firestorm.
Oh, we're going to come
in
here.
Yeah, and they would have took all the window. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, this is why I like you on, Dana, because we don't agree on some things, but on the big issue of the catastrophe, like, we do not have an option, folks. We're in whether we like it or not, and if we want to be adults, we have to face it.
If they would come out and tell the truth, we wouldn't exist. It's as simple as that. We only exist because people don't tell the truth, and the ones that are... We put our fate into haven't done it. And that's why we're still here. That's why we're still swinging. That's why we would still be here.
That's right.
My show starts in an hour and a half. And
we'll tell people how to get there.
Don't matter. No one's going to go there. Look, no one cares. No one freaking cares. No one cares.
Well, I mean, people do listen.
No, it's evident.
I mean, this is why it's important to do it. Because
I don't even care. Like, I've begged people to donate. And we've done the things we've done, but we've had to struggle the entire time. Nobody else has to struggle to come out and lie, but I got to struggle to tell this truth. And I'm like, I have nothing. Everything's taken away from me, and I'm sick of asking. I'm not going to ask anymore in that context. I don't even care anymore. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. But it's heartbreaking. I could have destroyed these people. All I needed was the support, and I never got it. And what do? I get demonized because I call out Arne Gunnarsson or Helen Callicott or... Dr.
Well, I don't think you're being demonized, Dana. I do not think that you're being demonized. I think it's important for us to have open conversation about it and get through the issues.
Yeah.
I'm not demonizing you in any way.
I'm not blaming you.
I know. Look, we have 10 seconds. I hope people do join you. Please go to Dana Durnford's nuclearproctologist.org. Listen to him on his feed, Beautiful Girl by Dana. Thanks for joining us, Dana. Put your courage beyond.
listening to UCY.TV. Why don't you